Hi and welcome to this week's Three Legs, Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with
Chris,
Dan
and Lee.
Season's done then.
It is. Curtains drawn.
Yep.
Closed.
Or blinds in your case.
Blinds are closed. I had to put the blinds up anyway because it got dark in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, that is true.
So the sun actually did set on the season before it finished.
Which is a good metaphor.
Ta-da!
As a Jenson Button fan, I have been less sad about things being over.
No, as a Jenson Button fan, you're pretty sad. Even by Jenson Button fan standards, you are pretty sad.
It's not very nice.
No, it's not. It's a bit mean, that, Paul.
Yeah, it's really mean.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah.
No. Well.
Fucking wanker.
Anyway.
Moving swiftly on.
Back to the racing.
Unlike Jenson this season.
Does that require a Jacques attack? Not quite yet. The lack of the race that we had in Abu Dhabi, it wasn't so much a race, but lack of racing. Namely at the front.
No, the Mercedes parade.
The Mercedes parade. Mm.
The team organised Mercedes parade.
Very much yes, the team organised.
I do get the impression that there was a driver desperate to race and a team desperate to stop him.
Yeah, a team desperate to basically imply that, you know, Nico is faster than you on Saturdays, therefore we're not going to let you get anywhere near him on a Sunday.
Yeah, the whole, if you don't go to strat 10, then we will tell Nico to go to strat 6. This is an instruction.
I mean, they could have let them race and Lewis might not have got anywhere near him. Which is, that would have been fair.
Yeah.
But they didn't let them race. They didn't give, they said this is the optimum strategy, the optimum lap to
it
stop
was,
on.
Of course, bollocks.
It was a hell.
Yeah, because I mean, if that was the optimum strategy,
what lose 7 seconds? To
yeah,
Nico
Rosberg? If that was the optimum strategy, then they'd have left Nico out because they were on the same tyres.
I know. Yeah.
You know, it might not have worked for them on the soft tyre because Sebastian's tyres were graining. No, on the super soft was super soft.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that might not have worked, but it would have at least given the chance. Personally, I think what should have happened was he should have just stayed out a lap longer. You know, he should have come in the lap straight after Rosberg. He'd have had, depending on if he could have put a good lap together, he would have either closed the gap a little bit, or it would have been a bit bigger, or it would have been exactly the same, and then he could have just raced him.
Yeah,
well, he wanted to carry on the on his set of softs.
Yeah, but that
he had to pick.
But that was a silly. I shouldn't say silly because obviously I know better than Lewis Hamilton. But I don't think that was what he would prefer to do. I just think that was he knew that the strategy that was he was going to get handed wasn't going to work for him, and that was the only thing that he could think of in his control. If I stay out, I've still got a chance of winning the race.
Yeah.
But as you mentioned before we started recording, Lee, do you think it's perhaps Mercedes reeling Hamilton in and going, look, we can make...
We make the champions,
yeah,
I
we
think
make,
so.
We can make Nico win if we want to.
Yeah.
If we want to make Nico win, we can.
Yeah.
You carry on partying next season, this will happen to you a lot more.
Possibly.
I don't think it's Mercedes sending a message to Lewis Hamilton. I think it's Mercedes being conservative, wanting to get the 1-2s.
Do you know
it's the final race of the season, though. Come on, like the final race of the season is always the race where it's like anything goes. You know, there's especially when the championship's already settled. Positions are, you know, you're not going to switch positions in standings or anything like that. There's one final race. Doesn't really matter if you break the car, as long as you don't break yourself. Go out there, give
put
it all you've got.
Put on
a show, exactly. Put on a show, do something.
Well, like, Fernando proved that he could do that by pulling in the third fastest lap when towards the end of the race.
Yeah,
well,
he was...
Turned the car up fully, actually showed what McLaren can do when it's got the bits working together for that 10 minutes when they don't break down.
Mm.
Well, yeah, that's the problem, though. 10 minutes. He's doing it for 2 hours.
Yeah. Tiny steps.
It's easier to build a fast car and make it reliable than it is to build a reliable car and make it fast.
McLaren hadn't done either.
No. But
they built a car.
That is true. No one can deny that.
Almost. Yeah. But
I found a little box at work today which had MP5 written on it. I meant to send you a picture going, I think I found the missing bit.
But there was that's where all the interesting stuff happened in this, in inverted commas, race. It wasn't at the front. Vettel's charged through the field up to the point in lap one, and then, you know, slowly making his way up to fourth place was great. But it was the Valentino Rossi MotoGP situation again, where he, you know, got that far and just wasn't ever going to be able to get any further up than that.
I was quite happy. I not that I didn't want Sebastian to finish on the podium, but I think it would have put Sean Kimi in a pretty bad light
if he had beaten him.
If he'd have finished
ahead. Oh, of him. I think Kimi was always going to finish ahead of Vettel this race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just did feel good for Kimi in one way, because he's had a few podiums this season, but not all that many.
Mm-hmm.
Gets to the podium, last race of the season. It's not champagne, it's fruit juice.
Rose water.
Mm-hmm. No, it's rose water in Bahrain. It's some kind of fruity
concoction. Is it? I thought it was rose water.
Yeah, no, that's the Bahrain one, the rose water, I'm pretty sure. But yeah, it's
Turkish delight.
It's still not booze.
No. But to be honest with you, I think everybody else was happy for Kimi that he got third. Kimi didn't care.
No.
To be honest with you, I don't think Kimi would have cared if he'd won the race either.
No. Yeah. How do you feel?
Yes.
Well, everybody should leave him alone because he knows what he's doing.
That is true. Yes. Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
And that was in the circuit where he said that was in 2012 when he won that one race that he won for Lotus. Well, did he win two races for Lotus?
No, he won a couple of races.
Did he win a couple of races for Lotus?
Yeah, don't forget he had an outside shout at the championship that year, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, when Lotus could actually win things and
people could get into the hospitality tent.
Yeah.
Well, it was before...
they were all right at paying their bills, or at least Eric Boullier was good at convincing people that they were paying their bills.
It was before that Ferrari turned up at Ellison's door and said, "This is a sack of cash. I suggest you come with me, Mr. Ellison."
Yeah, that was pretty much what happened, yeah. But yeah,
if you like sacks of cash, I want to find more of sacks of cash.
Come to Maranello. The exciting stuff in the Abu Dhabi GP.
Apparently, Lotus have now tried to sell the sack.
Unfortunately, they couldn't give it to Pastor Maranello. But the exciting stuff during the race happened towards the back. It was the Saubers and the McLarens and the Toro Rossos fighting with the Red Bulls. Not that that was at the back, but it was a sort of lower end of the points. And I wanted to give a special mention to Force India because they did very, very well. Sergio Perez being best of the rest of the rest, finishing fifth. I did actually put a pound on him to get pole position.
Which was a brave long shot.
It was a brave long shot. But I tell you what, at some point I thought, you know, this might actually happen. But it didn't.
It didn't.
If there was surprise rain
in
that desert nation.
You know what? On Tuesday... Last Tuesday, it rained in Abu Dhabi.
It was raining until Thursday, apparently.
It was the first time it had rained since January the 3rd. So, yeah, Tuesday to Thursday, it rained. It was the first rain it had since January the 3rd.
A more serious note for things. There's no, like, as far as, like, filthy, dirty...
hang on, where you go with this?
No, we don't need Jack just yet.
Okay.
Like filthy, dirty examples of lavish spending. Building a fucking ocean in the desert is up there.
Building a big marina on an island.
Yeah, the Marina Bay.
Yeah.
I'd love to know how much water that needs, you're just constantly pumped into it.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was a natural coastline that they just sort of...
Is it? I think
Yas Island is a peninsula.
Which
was essentially a sandbar, which they decided to build up, make a marina, and then build a Formula One circuit on. One person decided to do all of that, I think. And, that's how the
Shaky moneymaker.
And they all said he was crazy.
Crazy shake. But now, look... Was it the sixth year of the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix? And that was amongst the worst.
There was somebody who wants to build a circuit in Iraq.
That'd be alright.
Okay then.
Well, come on. We've already been to Bahrain and we're going to Sochi as well. And
yeah.
There's enough cleared land.
Careful now. But yeah, it's... Oh no, get that out of my head now. There's enough to be going on with without keeping on referring back to that Grand Prix. Let's just leave that as it was. We'll refer to this 2015 season next week. Let's move on from that onto something new, or not so new.
Well, there is something new. It is the tyre test this week. 12 hours of constant running with the ultra softs.
With one tyre.
Yeah.
Because they have to reach the ultimate limit. Apparently, that is Pirelli.
Surely they need at least four.
Well, four tyres.
One tyre on each corner.
Yeah, but they're not allowed to change tyres for 12 hours.
And it's going to be this new ultra-soft compound. It's either going to be purple or it's going to be that soft it'll have puppies on it.
And Brex. And the toilet papers are available, but are rubbish.
And don't have puppies.
No.
No, that is true.
So, they're going to do 12 hours on one set of tyres.
Yeah.
And in a race, they're going to say, you can't run this for more than 8, otherwise it'll randomly
explode.
Yeah.
Sergio Perez only has to do another 15 minutes to his normal stint.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, to get Checo out there and he'll be fine. He'll start him on Tuesday, he'll still be going on Christmas Day.
He's not a fair test, though.
No, he's not a fair test. He needs somebody like Max Verstappen out there. I don't know who's doing the tyre test, because some teams are in on it and some aren't.
Manor and
McLaren
aren't.
And are they not? I thought they are.
No, Manor aren't. McLaren are. Jensen and Stoffel for McLaren, isn't it?
Yeah.
Lotus might be.
Jensen and Stoffel, you say? So not Jensen and the other race driver for next year.
Oh, don't go down. Don't.
No, take the hat off. Force India have got their new young driver taking part.
Well, who's that?
It's
not the Mercedes guy, is it? Pascal Wehrlein?
No, it's Cedric Gasly, I think he was called.
Tell you what, there's some fine racing driver names going around at the minute, isn't there?
What happened to James Calado? That's a great name. Hi, James Calado. Hi. Sounds like he should be in the James Bond film.
I was just going to say he's a spy again.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, James Calado. The tyre test is important. We're out of season now, so I wonder how many of the teams are going to use certain bits of data for
Apparently, they're not allowed to make any major aero alterations to the car, and the cars have to be run as they were run this weekend.
Now, if I remember right, that was the same rule in 2013, and it was after the mid-season tyre test, which the McLarens did.
Which they got penalised for.
And didn't do any kind of aero testing or anything, honest governor, where they suddenly started winning.
Yeah. You know, another might suddenly start winning in the December series. They're not allowed to use any of next year's technology either.
But they can use next year's parts.
But like a new iPhone or something like that.
iPhone 7.
No 2016 technology. New Android phone is not out yet.
Go away, future man. Go away.
They'll all turn up in DeLoreans. Except for the McLaren, because they can't reach 88 miles an hour.
Ooh.
No, they can. Fernando Alonso was fast, as we've just said that.
It can go just not for very long.
Yeah, yeah. It's the new McLaren spec Back to the Future car, but you've got to do 88 miles an hour for 11 minutes.
Oh no! On average, at least.
So yes, that's something new.
So from the new to the very very old.
Yes.
Red Bull engines.
Oh.
Christian Horner has said that they have signed a contract for 2016.
Helmut Marko says they haven't.
I believe Christian Horner. Because I don't believe Helmut Marko ever.
Ever.
I don't know, when it comes to acquiring an Austrian head of racing operations, you know.
I would go with Toto Wolff.
Yeah, Helmut Marko, that's the one I'd get.
Oh, oh dear, and we were worried about about what Lee might say.
What? I didn't say anything contentious. I just said I'd hire Helmut Marko as head of racing operations.
Don't make me up my game.
Jacques, help!
Not tonight, I do the editing.
Oh, no.
Jacques hasn't helped since he's been in Formula E. He's not around at the minute.
No, he hasn't.
So yes, Red Bull and their new engine. So yeah, Christian Horner says that they have signed a deal, but they can't say who it is until next week.
Which means it's probably Ilmor.
He said that the engine is going to get better over the course of next year.
To be fair, isn't that the same for everyone?
It is.
Yes.
Yep. There's these things called development tokens.
Yeah. It insinuates that it's going to start poorly.
Which and suggests...
I don't mean ill. I mean...
Or ill more.
Yeah.
Or more ill.
More ill. It's going to start more ill.
Lewis Hamilton wants to start his season ill.
He's sick, man.
No, that's just hungover.
No, he's actually sick. He's
not sick, he's tired.
Too much. Too much partying.
Although, Dan, you found something on a website of not exactly great notoriety. In fact, in Chris's words, they are absolute poo.
That's what I've written down, yeah.
Just a quote, supposedly, from Christian Horner.
There's no quote. I don't believe it.
Then let's not report it.
No, let's report it, but I don't believe that it's a quote.
Saying that Ron Dennis would not be happy with their engine. Now, given that it's allegedly Ron Dennis's use of veto that meant they didn't have Honda's engine, a tinfoil hat type conspiracy theorist, thank you, could infer that this would be a Honda engine that they're getting.
With a different name.
Zonda.
Zonda. Ricardo Zonda! What I'm thinking is, it's going to be an Ilmor name, but where is it? Ilmor aren't going to build the engine. Ilmor are probably going to look after it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Ilmor are going to tune it, they're going to mess with it a little bit, they might even be allowed to develop the engine.
Well, they will be allowed to develop the whole thing if it's got their name on it.
Yeah.
If it's got the name of the manufacturer who has engines in another team.
It has to be exactly the same
and develop at the same rate.
I think we're looking at either it being a Renault or a Honda unit with Ilmor's name stamped upon it.
I think Renault is the more likely one because they have the contract in place with Renault.
But I think it would have just been said if it was Renault.
No, because I don't think it would have just been said if it was Renault. It would have been said, don't worry, Renault, everything's fine. Some places are reporting that Infiniti, who I suggested might have their name on the Red Bull engine for next year, are not going to be at all sponsoring Red Bull next season. It's just going to vanish in the car completely.
So I wonder if that...
Turn up on the Renaults.
I was just going to say...
If the purchase goes through.
Yeah.
Which is, again, this whole weird link thing about engines going to different teams. We know that Manor have already taken the Lotus Mercedes engine, which leaves Lotus without an engine for next year. And they've got till next Monday, December the 7th, to complete a takeover, and the only interested party is Renault.
Do you think the interest, the thing about
short shoulders? That's what I'm doing right now.
Do you think the thing about the not being an announcement for that is because if Renault's had a lot of stick this year, openly from Red Bull, it hasn't looked good with the engine they've produced. Do you think there could be a case where at least now we're not talking about Renault? Like the shit engine manufacturer, we're talking about will Renault buy its own team? And the longer that is, that we're talking about Renault in a positive light, it's better for Renault.
Of course it is, yeah.
It's
a positive
light. Yeah, it's just, but it keeps them in the conversation as well, so.
Yeah, no, see where you're coming from with that.
The only thing I would like to just go back and say that about the Honda Ilmor and how I don't see that working. It's because Honda and Ilmor not rivals.
So you don't see that Woking.
Woking. Sorry. Byron. Hello. Are they not rival suppliers in IndyCar, Honda and Ilmor?
I'm having to look this up because you've just thrown that one completely as a curveball.
Boom. I'm pretty sure Honda and Ilmor are the two main engine suppliers in IndyCar. I might be wrong.
Let's have a look. Racing in the USA. I'm not entirely sure.
If I'm going to edit things.
So this seems.
Yeah, so this wouldn't have to happen. That means anything. But no, they're not. Boom! You see, this is how bad this week's race was. You know, we're 20 minutes into the podcast and we're desperately scrambling for things to talk about.
Well, there are things to talk about. It's just we want to stretch it out to an hour.
Well, we've talked about these things all damn year.
We have, actually.
Yeah.
We even got to the point where we weren't allowed to mention the word Renault. We had the swear button, which worked.
Then we realised. We
forgot how to use it. I called them rep. No.
I broke the swear button.
You did. You broke the swear button.
Well, what else have we got on the list? Because
the
Renault thing we can talk about for hours, can't we?
We're going to talk about it next week. We're going to talk about it over the winter as well because
It's Honda and Chevrolet that are the IndyCar engines, by the way.
Okay, Honda and Chevrolet. Right, thank you.
Right, so they're not rival.
They're not. No.
So it could happen.
It could happen. So ignore Christopher.
I think it's Honda. I've just got a feeling about it. I just think that the
it's only for 1 year though. Apparently, Christian Horner did confirm that it was just for 1 year when he's talking to, I believe it was the Sky Television.
Well, I still like my theory about that is the fact that they're going to have 1 year with an engine which is being fiddled with by Ilmor. And then in 2017, Ilmor will build an engine for Red Bull.
I can see that happening.
That is more than likely, yeah. I reckon.
Yeah.
Because they'll already have the experience of fiddling with the 2016 engine.
Mm-hmm. Honda engine.
Of some description. And but they can be working on next year's engine because they'll know the full specs that it needs to be. And, you know, maybe they'll actually come in and get it right straight off the bat rather than... pondering about.
How do you think the conversation went on the phone when Christian Horner rang Ilmor up? And he was like, yeah, build engines for us. And what do you not want? VW, weren't they building? Oh no, we were never going to have VW engines.
No.
I was just waiting to ring you.
Yeah. We're never going to have VW engines because, you know, all that smoke. All of that smoke.
The software doesn't behave the same in testing as it does on the track.
Yeah. I mean, don't forget, the last time Ilmor came into Formula 1 would have been 1998 with McLaren.
But were they not Mercedes by that point?
They were Ilmor tuned.
Ilmor tuned Mercedes engines.
Yeah,
That was the
Hakkinen State Championships run by Ilmor. Won by Ilmor tuned engines.
Adrian Newey Link.
That's
Adrian Newey.
Yeah.
Well done, Link. Yeah. Adrian Newey Link, right there. But we can talk about this. We will talk about it loads more over the winter.
Just quickly.
Hopefully we won't. Hopefully there'll be an announcement. And
Come on, right? When there's an announcement, we'll be sat here like, I wonder what that engine's going to be like. Oh, guess what? Ilmor have put out a press statement saying
their engine's quite good.
Yeah, yeah, saying that their engine is 40 horsepower per more powerful than the Ferraris.
They'll move into Gloucestershire with that.
Because this is what we're going to be talking about all bloody winter.
Yeah.
So great, we're all going to turn into James May.
Yeah, we are. Like, yeah. So next, Max Verstappen.
Seriously, listeners, strap yourself in.
In a car that still doesn't have an engine.
It has no rumours about an engine.
I just want to say one thing about the Newey thing, just quickly before we move on.
Well, hurry up.
Is the fact that Adrian Newey is all fucked off because the engines that he was given were spoiling his beautiful cars. Yeah?
Mm.
So I wonder if he found it easier back in der day to work with Ilmor to put good engines in his beautiful cars.
But now Adrian Newey is concentrating on designing things without an engine in because they are boats.
And the Red Bull car for next year.
Yeah,
yeah, that'll have an engine in.
They have designed, as we've reported before, four cars for next year, Red Bull.
Yeah, one for each engine manufacturer.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean...
And none of them are any good.
Adrian Newey's already gone, oh, well, this wasn't the challenge I thought it was going to be as far as his boat building's going. This is dead easy.
Now, what I've done here is I've developed a plane that has a little bit of its foot in the water.
But he's won, is it, have they won every race?
No, they came third in one.
Oh, did they?
Yeah,
they
Yeah, the wind...
But they need to be careful of Martin Whitmer.
But he'll want 27. He'll want to design the car, and he'll want to put his full weight behind the 2017 car.
Oh yeah, I think so.
You know, if there's tweaks in the rules, you want to be in an Adrian Newey car.
Yeah,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah, every time they change the rules, it's a Newey car that wins the championship straight after it.
Yeah,
yeah.
2017 is an aerodynamic formula.
Mm-hmm.
It will be
finally.
Yeah, more mechanical grip and more aero.
No overtaking. We hate overtaking. That's what everyone says when they say Formula One. They say, I want less overtaking. Boring.
We want more processions. So that we know who's winning from the very start.
Yeah.
It's whoever Toto says it is.
Well, it's, if they said it, didn't they? Formula One is too confusing. If they all start on the grid and finish in the same order, it's much easier to work out.
Yeah, no confusion.
It'll be whoever Christian says it is in 2017.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Whoever was nicest to Jerry.
Yeah.
Nobody.
It could be.
Ever.
Max Verstappen. For a second attempt.
You're desperate to shoot all this in, aren't you?
Because I'm sick of talking about Red Bull. Did you know? Max Verstappen is the driver with the most amount of penalty points at the end of 2015.
Yes, I did know that.
Because you told me.
Yes, I did.
Worse than pasta?
Worse than pasta.
Unbelievable.
We've been singing the praises of Max Verstappen all season.
Yous have.
I've said over and over again, he's not mature enough.
No.
I think he is.
I've always said Sainz was the more complete driver. Verstappen's good, but so you've
but Verstappen
been singing
is
the
spectacular.
We've all been singing his praises. It's just that
me.
Chris keeps repeating the chorus.
Yeah, all the time.
Well, between Sainz and Verstappen, I'm pretty sure it's Jensen.
But apparently, he got two penalty points for that accident with Grosjean in Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
He got three penalty points for his ignoring the speed limit under the safety car in the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
And he got three this weekend for ignoring blue flags. Ignoring blue flags? Like, how can you ignore blue... No one ignores blue flags. I think you've got to go past three marshal stations that are waving blue flags and not given way before you get basically told off.
Yeah.
I've noticed
or sung
something.
At by Seb.
Or sung at, yeah.
I've noticed something with
and the it was two penalty points with blue flags and one for going off track when they had the coming together with
Jensen. Was it two for the blue flags?
It was two for the blue flags and one for the Jensen.
What, one for, I don't like this corner.
Yeah.
I've noticed when you
don't like sprouts either.
I will tell people this in a second.
You don't get penalty points on your licence for that, though.
Lee's got an anecdote.
I think Verstappen's very Schumacher-esque, but unfortunately I've noticed in interviews and stuff I think he might have the twatty Schumacher bits as well.
You came out with the wrong payoff on that. When you said I think Verstappen's very Schumacher-esque, but unfortunately I was waiting for you to finish that with Ralph.
No, definitely.
He's very Schumacher-esque in that some people think he's dangerous now. Like, a lot of people thought Schumacher was dangerous in the very early 90s, 1991. Even Ayrton Senna came out sort of at one point and went, that guy's dangerous, watch him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went and won many championships years later. But, I mean, it's unforgivable, really, isn't it, to have that many penalty points? He's only four away from a ban. And those two that he got in Monaco,
I find it
they
crazy.
Won't, they won't go until Monaco.
But I find it crazy that he's had... He got three this week, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And three for the speeding by the safety car.
Yeah.
In Hungary.
Yet only two for the really dangerous accident.
Yeah.
Which was... No, speeding behind the safety car is really dangerous because the safety car is there.
Because
people on track.
But so is trying to drive through Romain Grosjean.
it was. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, trying to drive through rear end Grosjean.
But when he hit Grosjean, he was actually going at a slower speed than the speed that he was doing. He was speeding under the safety car.
Oh, okay. I mean, I understand that there must be a time where you come up to a Lotus and think it's kill or be killed.
He's a young lad, isn't he? Because to be honest, like young lads do like to run along and then jump on other people's backs.
He saw a girl in the crowd that he fancied.
Run the boys, lads,
lads.
Saw a girl in the crowd that he fancied and he wanted to go past her pulling a wheelie.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, handstand.
This is science. not science. Science.
You can tell it's the end of term special for us as well.
It is a bit of an end of term special for us. And I want to talk about next term. After we talk about Alonso loving everything.
Except Formula One.
Is he going on a sabbatical?
Yes, no. No. Yes. Yes, no. Yeah, no.
Probably
maybe.
Not. I think he said.
Maybe.
I heard he's going back to Brazil to sit in a chair and look at the sun.
But he said how exciting World Endurance is.
And how exciting MotoGP is.
Yeah. And is he just doing that to stir the pot? He's like, hey, Formula One, man, this is crap. Come on, get your act together. I've got like 3 years. I've got 2 years left in this sport and make it exciting. Or is he going, yeah, this stuff's really exciting. See you later.
Unless, yeah, if he really believes it, you know, if he really believes it, then he is going to have a sabbatical. You know, if he genuinely means what he says, because if he thinks that, then how's he going to find the motivation? So fair enough, that car is going to be better next year. I think by the talks of Jensen and the. Like in the paddock area and stuff like that, you know, after the race, he seemed to hint when he was saying about having the go with Bottas that he thinks McLaren will be able to race Williams more regularly next year. So I think they're thinking they can jump to about fourth.
Yeah, because that was the great positive thing with Jensen in this race was that he kept Bottas at bay for the last few laps. Bottas wasn't close enough to get. You know, to look at a pass, really.
Yeah.
So when you think of how far they've come, when Kevin Magnussen just was on his outlap 100 yards down the road and his Honda engine went bang.
Yeah.
That was a proper 90s style bang as well. All the smoke coming out of one side.
The smoke and the piston bouncing down the road. And
Yeah.
It's just like, well, that engine's... Sorry, Fernando, I broke your car.
Yeah, you've only got three of them left now.
And guess what? Kevin Magnussen, at the end of the year, you don't have a job anymore. also something about Kevin Magnussen having a DTM test just quickly.
Yes, apparently he is testing with one of the Mercedes teams. I don't know if it's the works team or a customer team for next year's DTM series to try and work his way back up. Because he was going to be the next big thing.
But
he wasn't. I don't think there's.
It did better than his dad.
Though there's no reason why, and he deserves to be there more than some of the drivers on the grid. But the top of the bottom of it, he had one good race. He managed to scrape a podium in his first race, didn't he? And then he was shit for the rest of the year.
But Sergio Perez in the McLaren.
Maybe he'd already been good at Sauber.
And he was full on Whitmarshed.
Yeah, he didn't achieve a lot in the McLaren.
The thing is, he's
looking great.
The thing is, McLaren have got a habit of getting a young driver in and setting their career back.
Mm.
Because Kovalainen.
Yeah. I think you have to go to McLaren as apart from if you take Lewis out of this. But
yeah, but he was bred by Ron Dennis in a test tube.
Yeah, yeah. You have to go to McLaren, much like Ferrari, to be fair, as a complete driver.
Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, you don't turn up there and you know be on the young driver. You don't red bullet.
Yeah.
Through there.
Yeah. Because when you do, Luca Badoa.
Yeah.
That is the best example for how Ferrari cannot develop anyone.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they've done it on Mythbusters, that was a turd that could not be polished.
Luca Badoa, I will, when he stood in, didn't he?
Yeah, when Massa had his accident.
He stood in for two races and then they thought, oh, hang on, Fisichella's good and Italian.
I can't remember. I think it was Spa. I can't remember what corner it was, but I was stood watching the corner and I actually saw him come round the corner backwards. He must have spun just coming in and he just came backwards out onto the gravel track.
I remember it was the Valencia, the ill-fated Valencia race in Spain that Badoa drove, and he was like running about 17th, and just every now and again, like every four laps, there'd be a replay of a spin. Badoa spinning just by himself.
Well, the crazy thing about that was, I think Kimi won that race, didn't he, in Belgium? And that was when Fisichella was second, and then Ferrari went to Fisichella and said, well, we'll buy you then, we'll put you in Luca Fisichella.
Yeah, Force India's first pole, first ever point, and it was second.
But the excuse was, oh, it's a terrible, tricky car to drive, this Ferrari. It's awfully hard. So you got Luca Badoa coming backwards down the track around the corner, and Kimi Räikkönen winning the race.
Yeah.
But it was Spa, so Kimi Räikkönen generally wins by default.
That's it, yeah.
So where were we before we got completely and utterly sidetracked?
We were talking about Alonso having a sabbatical, nobody cares about that anymore.
I think he's going to have a sabbatical. I think he's not.
I don't think he will either. I think he's trying to talk. I think he's trying to stir the pot again. We know he can do
that. Well, it was Ron Dennis stirring the pot.
Alonso's also been stirring the pot as well. I think they've all been stirring the pot a bit. Maybe they've had no fun this year, so the only way they get fun is by spreading rumours.
That's what we've done for half the podcast.
Talking of which, I hear Vitaly Petrov's making a comeback.
don't forget, I think that if Alonso was to go, Ron Dennis or for a year, Ron Dennis be happy. Because, let's face it, they are both too old for Ron.
Oh,
Ron likes his boys young, and he wants Stoffel in there.
Chocolate Stoffel.
Yeah.
Stoffel Van Dorn does sound like a European snack.
Yeah, it does. I can't think of anybody else ever in the history of humans called Stoffel.
Didn't Harry Hill have a puppet cat called Stoffer?
Oh, I don't know.
You said history of humans. I don't consider Harry Hill a human.
Or a puppet, a human.
Or a comedian. Maybe it's strictly on.
Where are we going then for our race next year? Because we're going to have to go to a race next year too. If we're going to be proper podcast journalists and fans who do things,
this is why we are putting out an appeal to all the teams that are going to be on the grid next year. Take us to a race with you.
We'll write really nice things about you and support everything. We'll put videos up and everything about how amazing everything is.
I'll be nice.
You may have to be nice about Manor.
We'll edit the bits where Lee's not nice.
No. Manor can buy me. I'm not above that. I'm not above being bought at all. I've been a right knob to Manor all year.
Manor can buy
Take me to Silverstone and I will be nice.
He's related to Will.
Yeah.
If you're not signing him for next year, he's not related to Will.
Or as I called him on the live blog, F1's own Joey Essex.
Yeah, come on, cuz. Hook me up.
Cousin Stevens.
He's not really my cousin.
I think we've just about covered everything, haven't we? Because bearing in mind there wasn't a great deal to talk about during the race, there's not a great deal to talk about at the minute.
No.
Next week's will be better because we'll be looking back at the season.
And looking forward to next year.
Looking forward to next year. So that may be in two parts, depending on whether we can shut up or not. There may be Renault news.
There should be Renault news by then, otherwise...
There may be Fernando news by
then. Next Monday is the cut-off in the High Court. And if they don't have a buyer by close of business next Monday, they get wound up.
I suppose as soon as the...
Which involves sending Ron Dennis round and going, at least we're still a team.
I suppose Renault, either way, will prove whatever Red Bull are doing as well, won't they?
Yeah.
You know, it's, if
Renault
if,
might just leave the sport altogether. That has been thrown about. As well.
I think they've said that they're not, or they're probably not.
Probably not.
They'll stay if Alonso takes a sabbatical or drives for them in World Endurance or something.
goes back to the Enstone team.
Yeah.
And then that team becomes really rubbish and McLaren start winning things again.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's, if Alonso takes a year off, it nails button down for the championship. That's all
you're,
I want.
You're not going to be unhappy about that,
no,
are you?
God, no.
See, 2016, everybody's talking of Ferrari for 2016. I'd love to see Vettel and Kimi as well take a fight to the Mercedes next year.
We just want to see what championship winning Ferrari Vettel's like over championship winning Red Bull Vettel.
Because I like Ferrari Vettel. Ferrari Vettel's hilarious.
Yeah.
Ferrari Vettel is a happy man. He's in a comfortable place. He told us at Monaco that he was happy when no one else was. And he's been trolling the Mercedes drivers all year long. Yeah. 13 times he stood on the podium with those two Mercedes drivers. He had to have a bit of fun, and he did. A few times he had a lot of fun. Just don't ask him to park behind Gary or Dave.
Oh, could you imagine, though, on the McLaren front, if Alonso did have a sabbatical, Jenson Button wins the World Championship, Stoffel van Dorn finishes in the top three, 2017 rocks around, and Alonso's like, can I come back now? Yeah? No. Guys?
Is Stoffel, he's going to do the Honda Championship, isn't he? I think Stoffel van Dorn next year?
Formula Honda.
Formula Honda, whatever it's called.
I thought it was just going to be Formula Friday Mornings.
Formula Friday Mornings. Practice session one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Palmer Hour.
The Palmer.
Except he's not paying $250,000 just to get behind the wheel, or not, as has been the case.
In all seriousness, though, it paints a pretty poor picture for GP2 now, doesn't it?
Did you see they had a big ceremony for Rossi? No. For the runners-up award.
Did they?
At the weekend, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, they were making a massive fuss. Yeah, congratulations, Alexander. You are the runner-up this year.
First loser, yeah. First loser.
Woo! Yeah.
Fastest idiot.
Yeah, got sat down to watch the GP2 sprint race on Sunday and saw a lot of red flags and some JCBs.
And lots of cars queuing in the pit lane that weren't allowed to be touched until they decided the race was not going to happen.
Yes.
Because there's a strange rule in GP2. If the race is stopped, you must queue up in the pit lane, but not be touched by any of the mechanics. You must just sit there and wait to be told to go again.
Well, it's not because they haven't actually got proper garages.
Yeah, because they do all the work in the pit lane.
Yeah.
The middle lane,
mm-hmm.
The driving lane, is the GP2 garage as well.
Yeah, it was really funny. Like, where if you go to Spa, there's like a where the river that goes through it. You cross the bridge, and then there's just a fence there, essentially. Looks a bit like the back of the grandstand for our Manx listeners. And there was a car there, and I can't remember. I'm going to say Dams. I don't know if it was Dams. It was a yellow one. And it was the winner, and there was just a GP2 car sat there in the next to a Ford Focus, which was clearly used to drive to the circuit. It wasn't a race car or anything like that. It was just parked next to it, and in the driver's seat was a trophy.
Just sat there.
just sat there, just in this car park. There was no celebration. There might have been a bit of old champagne.
Wee.
Yeah. Then.
Wait, what do you want this now? Just leave it there.
Just leave it there. Yeah.
Next to the Focus.
On that note, we'll be back next week with our season review, maybe part one, maybe the whole thing.
Yeah, it depends how much we want to review.
That is true. So until then, we will see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.